children and our grandkids the way of the Lord. Lord, have your way. Open up our eyes, our hearts, to hear your voice and to apply what you want us to apply today. Lord, we take captive every thought that would set itself up against the knowledge of you. And Lord, we desire that you be Lord of all in every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is Father's Day. It's a day that we honor our fathers. And, you know, in Ephesians 6, I'll read. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but to bring them up to discipline them, and instruct them in the Lord. Paul points out the fact to love your father, to honor your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise. Because sometimes it's hard to obey your parents or honor your parents. I think that's, you can see that. And it's to be able to have a promise that we have a good, long life. And in the heart of the fatherhood, he adds, is for the fathers to nurture their children. The children that we procreated. And to share with them the love of the Lord Jesus. I think as fathers, we have a big responsibility. It's a huge responsibility because it's not up to the mother to raise the children. She helps us, and sometimes we fall short. It's important for the fathers to be who God's created us to be the priest of our house, to teach our children, to show them the love of the Lord, to teach them who the Father is. And we are should be a reflection of the Lord. You know, the greatest need in our society today is for dads who will rise up and to assume their God-given role and responsibility. And I know that the fathers are under attack. We see that. But more so as a body of believers, we try to encourage fathers to help them to be the men who God's called them to be. Fatherhood is a solemn trust that God has given us. The children that we have, He blessed us with them, to raise them up, to teach them, to give them. You know, it's amazing how when a child is raised up in a godly home, how they even hear from the Lord even better than myself does. God wants the children to be used. God wants the children to know Him. It's in effect, this culture. The kids are a blessing to us. They're not a burden. You know, the fact that every day it's natural to feel. Do you remember when your child was born? Were you blessed to be there when your child was born? I was able to be there each time for my children, and I cried because of tears of joy seeing that life come out, and to pray with the child right at the beginning, to be there. And every day I'm reminded of a blessing that God has given me, and it's then also a reminder of the responsibility. And I know sometimes I fall short. I think some dads have fallen short of the responsibility that God has given us. But I know He works in our hearts to change us, to become the men that He's called us to be the shepherds of our own home. Something that we should not take lightly. God intends the dads to provide for the children, to protect them. However, there's much more to be a dad. We are to train and instruct the children in the way of the Lord. More than physical provision, protection, and opportunities, the most important thing you could do for your children is to teach them who God is, to teach and model godly character, how to respond in life, how to live, and how to trust the Lord, even in the good times and the bad times, to actually show them what a prayer life is like, what it is to meditate on the Word of God, how to love your mom, how to love the Lord. In Ephesians 5, turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things. Even so, husbands, love their wives." Husbands should love their wives as their own body. "He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of this body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Mystery is very great, I speak concerning Christ in the church. However, let each man of you love his wife as his own self." And it also says, "Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, regulates him, esteems him." That's a beautiful picture of what a marriage is. The husband lays down his life for his family, and how he's honored by doing that, how his wife and that encourages him for what he does. It's a beautiful picture of what marriage is. You know, some of us may have wonderful memories of our father, while others remember a cold, distant dad. Maybe your father didn't know how to express his love. Sometimes people have difficulty relating to God as a father. Sometimes our past experience with our earthly dad has tainted us to what our father should be or how he should act. Or, you know, and sometimes we translate that to, because we identify that maybe that's what our Heavenly Father is like. Because sometimes we have a poor example of what a dad is. You know, maybe when you hear father, you brings up bad memories of abuse or neglect. But our Heavenly Father, I know, the Father I know, my Heavenly Father, it's my earthly dad. You know, he did his best. He fell short. I fall short. But I hope my children don't think because I fall short that their Heavenly Father, he won't fall short. He's a trustworthy Father. That's who our Heavenly Father is. He's trustworthy. He's not distant. He's here with us even right now. Even when we go in the world, he's always with us. Hebrews 5, he says, "I'm always with you and will never forsake you." Is it 13, 5? I can't remember now. But he's always with us. He's personal. He wants to spend time with you. He's very loving. That's who our Heavenly Father is. He's very loving, very personal. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to go to him anytime, to share your heart, your feelings. And he will speak to you. You know, our Heavenly Father is a protector, a healer, deliverer. He comforts us. Especially in our good times and bad times, He comforts us. He's full of wisdom. He's never changing. He's a loving God. He's a holy Father. Not once has my Heavenly Father ever let me down. Has He ever let you down? God never lets His children down. Maybe His timing is not the same time as ours, but He's always there for us. Fatherhood is often tainted by the weakness of human fathers, but our Heavenly Father is perfect, and He's holy, He's righteous, loving, caring. So I hope when we think of a Father, we think of our Heavenly Father, and that we pray for our earthly dads, that they would become more like Christ. They would become the men that God has created them to be. It's not tough. It's tough, right, to be a dad. There's responsibilities. And as wives and children come up and pray for the dad and encourage him to be the man who God's created him to be, I think you see how marriages and society will be changed. Men will step out to be a godly influence in this community. Throughout Scripture, God affirms His love. We know He loves us because He says so. And there's numerous Scriptures that point to how much God loves us. It's amazing how God calls us. You know God calls you by name? If He didn't call you, you wouldn't be here. You didn't choose to follow God. God was always sending this invitation, and you responded. It's amazing how when we were separated by sin, living a life was contrary to the Word of God. God was calling you to Him. That's a loving Father. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, not one. Not one at all. It's amazing. We all were sinners. Not one of us was born again when we came to know the Christ. If you were born into a family of believers, you were not a Christian. You weren't a believer until you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we all need Jesus. We all need to be saved from the sin and to be set free, to become children of God. Knowing that we need to be redeemed. And our Father is the only one who can redeem us. It was Jesus Christ who died on the cross, rose again, who redeemed us. So we need a Savior. We need to repent of our ways, confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And this love God has made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him in this love, that we know how to love God, because He first loved us. He sent Jesus, His Son, for appropriation for our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. The Father so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 and 3:17. And so, then the Son is so greatly loved and willingly laid down His life for you, John 15:13, to become appropriation of our sins, to make us holy and righteous, to bring us back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus did this so that we could be reconciled to the Father and to have a right relationship with Him and to know Him. To know Him as Father. To know Him as Abba Father. And And to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. John 1, 12 to 13. See with fresh eyes what the wonderful love of your Heavenly Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. We've become children of God when we receive Christ. And we come into the family of God. We're adopted. But God demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5, 8. Salvation is not earned by anything you or I can do. Salvation is made possible by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ and of his obedience to the Father. He revealed that at Calvary. He died for your sins. He gave you a heart that asked for, he gave his life for you. And all he asked from you and I is our hearts. Are we willing to follow the Father? Are we willing to lay down our lives for him? Are we willing to, as it was said in Austin, like the song says, are we willing to lay it all down for him? Are we willing to be used by him? And of our love and admiration for him, we share his love to others. As a community, do we have a heart for the lost? Do we have a heart to see people be saved in this community? Do we desire to share the truth of the gospel to the people that don't know Christ? I pray that'd be our heart. You know, as a child, as we become a child of God, our Father, he heals our inner wounds. That's why I love my Father. He heals our inner wounds, the hurts, sets us free from bondage, so that we can have his peace, his joy, to realize that no matter what has happened in the past, he will heal us from it. So we don't have to feel ashamed anymore of what we have done outside the will of God. And sometimes even as believers, we do something outside the will of God and we ask for forgiveness and the Lord heals us. You know, your Heavenly Father has a plan and a purpose for you. He has you on a journey. He has a great multitude of people around you, like Hebrews 12, 1. Cheering you on to be the men and women that God's called you to be. He's cheering you on. Even though what's happened in this world, we're the light of the world. Because Christ lives within you. We share the truth of the gospel by how we live and how we act and how we react. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandage their wounds. How many of us, when we came to know Christ, he healed your wounds? He healed your brokenness from your past. Isn't that something to be worthy of the Father? To praise him today and say, thank you, Father, that, you know, you healed me from all this so I could praise you and worship you, to share the love of Christ to others? What an amazing Father. It's like when your kid falls down, he picks you up, he kisses your knee, your elbow, gives you a sucker. The Father loves you so much. He wants the best for us. And sometimes we don't wrap our head around that. Sometimes we are blinded from that because of our past experience of our dad. But our Father is in heaven is totally different. The loving, caring, nurturing Father. God is reminding us that his power is unlimited. He is mighty enough to heal all the wounds, no matter when or how they occurred in our lives. Our pain is not beyond his tremendous power. He is the great physician. He can reach into our past to heal our souls. How many of us experienced that? I know I have. Healing the deepest wounds in your life. Setting you free from the bondages of what's happened in this world. Only He can reach into the innermost part of your being to bring healing and restoration because He loves you. And as we worship the Father, we're worshiping them today because of what He's done and what He's still doing in their lives. He's still encouraging you to finish the race. Our pain doesn't have to determine who we are. Christ determines who we are. Scripture says He heals, meaning His healing is ongoing. That no one, not at one time, He could heal us at any given time. But are we willing to be healed? Are we asking, Lord, I desire for healing in my life, in this area of my life, that only You can bring healing? Are we willing to go to the Father and ask for healing? He doesn't want us to have a broken heart. He wants us to be healed. As the scripture says, He set the captive free. And He desires us to be free. God is a very compassionate Father. The Hebrew word for broken heart is defined in relation to our inner person, encompassing the mind, will, and emotions. Thus, the psalmist reminds us that God is capable of healing all types of wounds. If our wounds are physical, He could heal them. If our wounds are mental, He could heal them. If our wounds are emotional, He could heal those too. He wants us to experience His shalom, His healing. But not only God heals the soul of the broken, He also binds up the wounds. He takes time to tenderly bandage the wounds and the places in our lives so we can be made whole, made be complete. He takes time. He shows how much He's invested in you. And this is the level of tenderness of our Heavenly Father. He loves you. He wants to heal you. Only our Heavenly Father cares about. Our Heavenly Father cares about those with broken hearts. He has the power to heal and restore. The Father loves His children deeply. Do we believe that He loves us deeply? Do our lives resemble our love and admiration for Him, of what He's done in our lives? Does our love reflect that? He does not abandon us with our wounds. God steps into our lives, heals our broken hearts, and binds up every wound. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Do we believe that? Does the Lord have your heart today? Do you need healing today? God can heal you right there where you're at. But are you willing to receive healing? It's amazing. We all could pray, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a child of God, you could pray and ask for somebody right next to you in your seat and pray for them right now. You don't need the pastor to pray for you. You can say, you know, nudge your neighbor. Can you pray for me right now? Pray for healing so that I be set free. God wants His children to walk in the authority that He has given us. Because the same God that lives in you, or who lives in me, lives in you. He has given us all talents and giftings. Are we willing to use them for the glory of God? So maybe if you want prayer, you can always ask the person next to you, can you pray for me today? I need encouragement. So I hope, I think that's the shortest sermon I ever did. But it's just, we have to remember who our Father is and who we are. We are His children. And He desires His children to worship Him, to honor Him, to live holy and righteous lives. And we can only do that by the help of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank You that You are a mighty God. You're a loving Father. That You are the only one that can reach into the innermost part of our hearts to bring healing and restoration. Father God, we thank You that You cared so deeply about us. Even while we were walking further away from You, You were still drawing us closer. Father God, I thank You that You're the one who sets us free. So Lord, I pray as we worship You, that You would honor, this would honor You. Because all honor and glory go to You, Father. We don't. Amen.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't invited.
Backfired.
It's who I am. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love. The dead of night, and You tell me that You're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are, and I'm loved by You. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only You provide, 'cause You know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are, and I'm loved by You. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. To us. One more time. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. To us, Jesus. Love. so undeniable. I hardly speak, peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Thank you, Lord, for being our good Father. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose. As we go today, I pray that we would allow you, Holy Spirit, to accomplish that plan and purpose in us and through us, particularly as we reach this community. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.